Prepare to go hungry as the food shortage is about to get much worse and send food prices even higher. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today. As the food shortage is about to get much worse due to COVID-19 testing requirements for truckers passing through the U.S. and Canadian border, and with food being one of the big transports that crosses, these testing requirements threaten to grind things to a halt and send food prices even higher at a time when consumers are already getting pinched through higher interest rates and energy prices, which will only lead to a major recession. Let's pick this story up as it starts in Canada, and this weekend we'll head to the U.S. We start out with Bloomberg headline, the fruit and veggie outages in Canada get worse with trucker shortages as Canada's turning away unvaccinated U.S. truckers at the border and is causing chaos in the fresh produce markets. A mandate starting on January 15th requires truck drivers crossing into Canada to be vaccinated. However, only about half of American truck drivers have gotten their shots. Meanwhile, as much as 90% of Canada's fruits and vegetables come from the U.S. during winter, and grocery stores are already having trouble getting some shipments, according to the Canadian Federation of Independent Grocers. The mandate is adding to Canada's supply chain turmoil that was already abundant due to recent storms as well as the pandemic. And shipping snarls and logistical headwinds have been blamed for rising inflation across the globe. Prices for consumers will likely rise as freight costs soar, as sending one truckload of fresh produce from California or Arizona to Canada is now $9,500, up from an average of $7,000, according to North American produce buyers. That works out to an additional cost of 12 Canadian cents per head of lettuce, according to the company. But this problem just isn't a Canadian issue, because the price to bring food and other exports over the border has doubled on some of the routes given the drop in eligible truckers, according to Alex Crane, operations manager at Page Logistics, a freight broker in Surrey, British Columbia. That's leaving hundreds of shipments bound for the U.S. waiting in warehouses to be picked up and trucked when and if carriers can find drivers to haul them, he said. The goods include everything from food to plumbing parts to gazebos. And as you can quickly see, this problem is going to get a whole lot worse really fast, and that's going to send prices even higher at a time when most Americans do not have any stimulus and have been draining down their savings to the point where they can't afford them. Let's continue on, because the situation will only set to worsen with the U.S. imposing its own vaccine mandate on foreign travelers starting January 22nd. That's 2 days from now. The Canadian Trucking Association estimates the mandate will take away as many as 16,000 truck drivers off the road. The lack of truckers could potentially create, quote, more of a shortage than what we've experienced now, said Victor Smith, chief executive officer of J.B. Smith Companies, a grower and distributor of leafy greens. That's because trucking is the only option for transportation. If you've been wondering, rail service isn't available everywhere, and shipping by air, well, that's far too expensive. And now we'll head over to the Wall Street Journal, because we're going to pick into the story now of how this is going to impact the U.S., and our restrictions on goods coming in from Canada. And boy, it's going to get ugly really quick. As truckers fret over pending COVID-19 vaccine rules at the U.S.-Canada border on Saturday, Canada require American and other foreign truckers to be fully vaccinated to enter, with similar U.S. rules coming January 22nd. Truckers expect new snarls and further difficulties finding drivers. The Canadian rules kick on Saturday, that was the 15th, when Canada will ban U.S. and other foreign truckers from entering the country unless they are fully vaccinated. Canada will require unvaccinated Canadian drivers to show a negative molecular COVID-19 test taken 72 hours prior to reaching the border. Imagine the logistics of just monitoring the test before they are allowed to entry. Those drivers will also have to quarantine for a 14-day period, which industry groups will say hurt fleets that are already short-staffed. Can you only imagine how big of a mess this is going to be? And it's going to get worse. Let's go on. The U.S. has said the Canadian truck drivers without two shots of authorized COVID-19 vaccine would be denied entry starting on January 22nd. Absent a bilateral solution, trucking and manufacturing trade groups warn of supply chain upheaval that could lead to further price increases or inflation and a possible shortage of critical goods such as food. And we're already having a huge problem with supply chain issues because manufacturers can't get all the parts they need to produce things. And now you're seeing it's not just a food issue, it's not just an inflation issue, it's also going to become a manufacturing issue, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But let's continue on with the story, because Lance Dixon Senior Vice President of Omaha, Nebraska-based Werner Enterprises, Mexico and Canada's Temperature Control Division, said that the truckload carrier anticipates, quote, increased delays at the border resulting from freight bottlenecks as agents verify vaccine status of drivers, officials educate those who are unprepared, and drivers become accustomed to this new procedure. You can only imagine the backlogs that's going to create. And quote, without adequate trucking services, manufacturers would be unable to maintain their current supply chains and production will stop or slow across the country, he said. And you can only imagine that that's going to lead to layoffs. And if you're concerned about any of this in your portfolio, what it could have in terms of downside risk, well, you shouldn't be. Check out PortfolioShield. You'll be glad you did. Because now we're going to take a look at the manufacturing side of the story. And you see, we're already seeing some early signs of this. The Empire Fed Manufacturing Survey collapses into contraction in January, headline Zero Hedge. And here we can see from the actual data that this is survey from the first part of January from the Empire State. We see a massive nosedive in current current conditions, while expectations remain high for the manufacturing sector continue to booming along. But we're finding out that's not the case, as business activity abruptly leveled off in New York State, according to firms responding to the January 2022 Empire State Manufacturing Survey. Again, keep in mind, this is taken usually in the first 10 days of the month. The headline General Business Conditions Index fell 33 points to minus 0.7. New orders declined slightly, while shipments held steady. Delivery times continue to lengthen, and based on what you know, this is going to get even longer, and unfilled orders increase. That expected to get worse as well. Labor market indicators pointed to a moderate increase in employment, which probably is going to reverse, and a longer average work week. Both price indexes moved lower but remained elevated, and plans for capital and technology spending were strong, and firms were optimistic, but maybe not so much, because check this out. Today, we get the unemployment data and for our initial claims, and we see up to 286,000 seasonally adjusted claims, up from last week's 231,000, a 55,000 increase. But look at the non-seasonally adjusted claims shooting over 337,000, suggesting that initial claims are headed higher as employers are going to be forced to lay off, making the situation even worse. And why does this all matter? Because when you see high rates of inflation, and I wanted to show you this chart, and I've circled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 points, and there are a few in between, but all of these 9 have something pretty in common, and you'll notice these gray shaded areas, and what that is peaks in inflation are often associated with major recessions, suggesting that we're on the edge of another financial crisis. And then when we come back to talk about the home situation, if you remember from yesterday, we talked about a potential collapse in housing prices. Well, that story continues today because we have some more data to look at suggesting that perhaps this may actually happen sooner than we think. Here we see from the Wall Street Journal that investors aren't sure about home builders' foundations, as the market for new U.S. homes is surprisingly strong, in some ways exceeding the housing boom years. But investors have a few valid reasons to wait and see, and they got two of them. It all sounds all rosy, but optimism among investors on home builders are probably being tempered by two related concerns. The first is home prices, which seem very high. Well, they are, not just, they are. As of November, the median selling price for a new home was $416,900, according to the Commerce Department, which compared to $331,800 in February 2020 before the pandemic struck. Rising material and labor costs are part of why prices have gone up so much. And with the spat between U.S. and Canada over this vaccine issue, well, the material costs are headed higher. But there's still the question of how high a price people will be able to afford in the year ahead, particularly without fiscal stimulus helping out. And this brings up the second concern is interest rates. Well, the Federal Reserve might begin raising its target rate on overnight rates as soon as March, and expectations that monetary policy will be tighter in the future have begun sending long-term interest rates higher. Buying a house at a high price is a lot easier when rates are low than when they're not. And that takes us into today's data from the U.S. existing home sales suffered the biggest December drop since 2009, headline Zero Hedge, and where you see a minus 4.6%. While this 1 month doesn't mean it starts a trend, it is a pretty large drop. As you can see, going back to 2016, you don't see these. And if this continues, well, it tells you perhaps the housing market good days are behind us, But for those who are selling and perhaps looking to rent, here's some good news. There was just 910,000 homes for sale last month, down 18% from a month earlier and 14.2% from a year ago. At current pace, it'll take 1.8 months to sell a home on the market, also a record low. And realtors see anything below 5 months supply as a tight market. And so what that seems to say is, if you're looking to sell and perhaps renting, well, this may be your opportunity to get out, because based on what we're seeing with high food prices heading higher, high energy prices, and interest rates up, well, it means we're on the edge of recession. And usually that means housing prices are headed lower along with inflation. I'm Steve Van Meter. We'll see you soon. Bye now. The content of this video provides educational information only. It's not intended to provide investment or other advice. Shares have to be construed as recommendation or solicitation by selling a security financial instrument or participate in any particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video that do not affect the Atlas Financial Advisors Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.